every year get these sheets of the China. I thought I had enough, and I see that I don't have. If not, you just share them, but we'll hope we'll have a few more. What do we mean? First of all, we're looking at the brisa itself. It's not a mishnah sheet, but a brisa. In the sixth parak of Avos, Gedola Torah min ha-kohuna. Gedola Torah yosher min ha-kohuna. Mishnah hey, Raisa hey, Gedola Torah min ha-kohuna min ha-malchus. Malchus niknis b'shloshi malos. Kahuna the Esrim the Arba Malos, the Hatorah Niknis, the Arboim Ushmone Dvorim. The notion of malos that's used by Kohun and Malchus refers to privileges or skuyot. That's how the Tiferes Yisrael teaches that the Melech we see in Shmuel, the Melech has 30 special privileges or skuyot that the average Jew does not have. The Kohen has 24 skuyot that the Stam Yisrael does not have. The various matonos, kuhun, and so on. The Maral points out that why don't we speak of mamos by Torah? Why do we say memches devori? So he wants to say that the chlau by Torah is not shayach a lashon of chashivus. A mamo is something that's chashiv. So in reference to Torah generally, he says, since the main kinyan of Torah, that is a dover question. The eager opinion of Torah, which we'll have Mirtishan time to explain, is the need of a novel. So Stam the Moshon Mala doesn't relate to Torah. Therefore, we don't want to use the word Malos. Even though we could say, in a broader sense, Memphis Malos. Torah Nikis with Memphis Malos. But each of these 48 Kinyonim, thank you, each of these 48 Kinyonim are Milos as a person. Understand? Does everybody have over here?
What do you do?
Anybody else?
With these weights, too.
Pass any extra ones down here for Martin. Rabaran makes a very interesting point when he speaks about Kinyonim of Torah. He said that just like we find different Kinyonim by different types of things in Shas. Karkas Niknis, Bishtar Kesed, the Chazokim. They're different Kinyonim, but different Kinyonim by different types of things. If we don't make the Kinyon, if we don't do the Dover that's with which we're poignant, so then the object does not become ours. So he said the same thing is true here. When we say that there's Memphis born to Torah Nikon's poignant, that means without this multifaceted Kinyon, I don't think there's another Kinyon in Shas that has 48 facets to it, 48 different Kinyonim, with which a person has to be on the Torah. Rabbi Arenzal brings down from Yishonim that the 49 days, the days of Shavuos, the days of Sefiras Homer, are days particularly to work upon the Memches Dvorim Shetora Niknis for him. But he points out that if there's a chesaron in the Kenyan, then there's a chesaron in a person's Torah. The Torah can't be showing unless the Kenyanim are going to be b'shleim yisrael. As a matter of fact, there's a fascinating point that Rav Aaron mentioned about the Tira of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva during the Yemei Sefiras HaOmer. So he points out that because of the lack of Talmud, the Gemara says in the Talmud, he just learned the Gemara, that's a chesaron in the kinyanim of Torah, a chesaron in mitzvos. So he said, because they had on their level, we should give puppet to each other, like they didn't give puppet to one another, obviously. But the kinyanim were judged by a different yardstick, and not concerning the virtue. So he says that because there was this chesaron in mitzvos, therefore the Torah that they had learned, the Torah that they had acquired from their Rebbe, was not b'shleimus. There was a chesaron in the kinyan of Torah. So the Torah they learned was not a shleimus. It was a Torah that was b'chesaron. Therefore, that Torah wasn't roi to be passed on through the Zoyrus. So they weren't roi to be, to be mommy their family that would hand down this Torah, but the Torah would not be b'shleimus. It's an interesting perspective where he brings out this point. That if the chesaron in the kinyanim of Torah is chesaron in the Torah that the person studies. What do we mean by making a kinyan in Torah? A person opens a memorial, sits down and learns. What's the pshat to make a kinyan in learning? Rav Aaron mentions two gedorim, and I want to add a third. We have a raya from a lashon of a Rabbeinu Yoni Zvachos that Mirti Shema want to share with you shortly. Rav Aaron says, there's three gedorim to a kinyan in Torah. Number one is most obvious, that when a person should be machafe, the emes of Torah, he should learn Torah and learn right pshat and correct pshat. But that's already one gedor to make a kinyan in Torah. Secondly, he says, a person should remember the Torah that he studies. That's also a kinyan. So these two kinyanim have to do with the etzem dover of learning Torah itself. Then there's a third category, a very unusual lashon of Rabbeinu Yonah, that I want to suggest is a third category of what we mean by a kinyan of Torah. And it's most important. Let's look in Peri Gimel, please, in Avos. Mishnah Rabbi Ezer ben Azariah, Mishnah Yud Zayin. A person wants to prepare himself for learning Torah. The first thing is he has to work on his midos. Without that, it's not going to work. If our character, he ain't there if eretz ain't Torah. That a person cannot have Torah if he doesn't have midos. Why? All you got to do is that you have a guy who's a genius. He has a genius IQ, and he's the world's biggest boor. Understand? A big boor, no respect for people. The guy's a genius. He has a photographic memory. So why shouldn't he be able to learn Torah? Just because he doesn't have their affairs. What's the connection? Look at this Rabbeinu Yoyin. Shetzorech techilo masakin atzmo b'midos. Ubozeh tishkon ha-Torah omor. the Torah will come to rest on him. Sheineno shochenes li'olom v'guf, she'eno bal midos tovos. The Torah will never come to rest upon a person who's not about midos tovos. I'm just translating from, obviously, just for emphasis. No she'yomo Torah v'achrikach yipach lo amitzvah. Ki yefshar. The zehu kinyan shenemar nasa v'nishma shemokas shechosamu. Because the nasa includes all the mitzvahs, includes midos as well. Okay? First has to come midos, and then comes Torah. What's this lashon of the Rabbeinu going? It always fascinated me. This lashon of the Rabbeinu, ein ha-Torah shochenes. The Torah doesn't come to rest, except the kind of person who has good midos. I wanted to suggest this is a third category of a kinyan in Torah. There's a kinyan in Torah that is not just an intellectual kinyan. The two kinyanim, the two gedorim of kinyan Torah that Rav Aaron Zal mentions, are intellectual gedorim. A person should be zayta to understand the emphasis and get the right shot on every part of Torah that he studies. And secondly, that a person should remember his Torah. The Torah should stay with him. They're both intellectual kinyanim. This gather is where it's a supernatural kinyan in Torah, where the Torah becomes part of the person. And again, the Torah shochenes on that individual. You see Talmidei Chachamim, you see people who have special midos, understand? You see that the Torah is part of them. It's not something in the court, understand? That the Torah permeates their very being. Mamish, their very breath is permeated. The whole life they live with Torah, the way they walk and sit and talk, the way they relate to people, whether it's family members or strangers. The Torah, they become Torah personality, understand? In the deepest, broadest sense of the word. That is Torah shochenes. And if you see people who don't have midot, they don't have good midot, they can be what you would call Talmidei Chachamim. But you see that the Torah is my geometry. It's on the head, maybe it's in the head, even being in the head is also outside the head, you understand? No connection to the person. Unfortunately, I knew one person like that, you understand? That I was totally such a great fan of talking to someone, I got to know him a little bit, and I found out later my observation was unfortunately a correct one. Man in Amish has no year of Shemaya, my measles in the year of Shemaya. It was a frightening phenomenon. Thank God I don't remember a second person like that I had met, but I did meet one such person. And then a person who had learned a lot, but totally like a jacket, like a shirt to take it off. No connection to the person whatsoever. No connection to the person whatsoever. And the opposite of that is a person who is permeated with Torah, where you feel when you're talking to him and the way you feel he relates to people and so on. The person is Torah personified. The Torah becomes part of that individual. That can only happen if a man has good midos when he sits down to learn Torah. The Torah can permeate the very essence of the individual. And that's the lashon of the Rabbeinu Yoina. That's how I understand this Rabbeinu Yoina. He uses the lashon twice. Wazeh tishkon ha-Torah ongo, einene shochenes v'oyimam. It doesn't come to rest upon such a person unless he's about midot. That's the pshat. Imein derech eres ein Torah. You can't make a kinyan in Torah. The truth of the matter is, we're not going into this now, but there's a lot of rayas that if a man doesn't have good midos, it'll even affect his intellectual kinyan and Torah too. And the man without good midos will not be able to be omed on the emes of Torah either, you can be sure. He won't be omed on the emes of Torah. There's rayas of that, you know, because it's a shmuz in and of itself. The next point I wanted to mention in terms of a hakdomeh to the Memches Dvorim Shel Torah Niknis Bahem, that if you look them over carefully, find that they fall into three categories.
The manifest form should Torah need to be for him.
There's one category that has to do with the act of learning. The Maisa Limud itself. Let's look in the Miri here. And we'll see right away, we don't have to look at the Miri. Then you look at this, we'll look at the text of the Mishnah here. For example, Talmud, Shmias HaOzen, Arichas Fosayim, Venus HaMeid. All these things have to do with the Maisa of Limud. What's the Shat Talmud? We'll see what the Rishonim say about that Mirsa Shem shortly. Shmias HaOzen, pronouncing audibly, Arichas Fosayim, Venus HaMeid. Mirsa Shem will go over each of these. Dikuk Haverim, Pilpul Talmidim, Yishu, Mikra, Mishneh. Shimush, Talmidei Chachamim, these are all kinyonim that have to do with the act of learning. They all have to do with the actual sitting down and learning, the act of learning Torah. So that's one category. I once counted about 15 kinyonim fall under that category. Then there's a smaller category, only 6 kinyonim, that have to do with a person, the requirement of a person being required to make sacrifices. Gashmiistic sacrifices, his comfort, his luxury, his convenience, in order to make a kinyan in Torah. For example, we'll pick up a few examples of that. For example, it says, look on the second page of the Rabbeinu Yoyin, it says, Miut Tanu, Miut Sheino, Miut Sicho, Miut Scho. These are all things that have to do with the person giving up some of the relaxation, the pleasure, the convenience, the taking it easy, making sacrifices in that sense in order to make a kinyanim Torah. So though there are 6 such kinyanim of the 48, so meanwhile we have 21, 15 that have to do with the mice of Lima, 6 that have to do with being Mamaya Tanugi in Oilam Hazen, and the majority of them have to do with Mitzvah. Amazing thing. But the majority of the kinyonim of Torah have to do with Mitzvah. But that speaks for itself. So the kinyonim of Torah fall under those categories. Simcha, Tahara, Anova, Amor, Yira, those all have to do with Mitzvah. Hamakir Makomo Sameach Bechelko Eino Maxi Tovo Leyatzmo Ohu Oev Amokom Oev Ezebrios all have to do with Midas Chayvus, obviously. So that by far is the largest of the 3 categories. Now we'll start, you know, to go through some of the kinyonim a little bit more in detail. And we'll take the first, is Talmud. The Rishonim are puzzled here, are bothered with Shah. What do you mean Talmud? That you should learn. It can't be Poshet. Talmud means you should learn. How can you be called a Torah if you won't learn Torah? I mean, it's obvious. It doesn't have to be said. It's a kinyon in Torah. It's not going to come by some hocus-pocus, you know, by some magic. So that's why you'll find interesting sharpening in the Rishonim. The Rishonim don't express the question, but it's question what the question refers to. And for example, the Miri says, Talmud is hamomeid mikom odom. And that's bothering him, understand? But you can't teach Talmud question that he learns Torah. Talmud refers to a person who has become a teacher and that he learns from everybody. Remember the first mission in the fourth paragraph of Avos Ezehu Tochum Hanlomei Mikom Adam. The Rabbeinu Yonah says there, let's look at you, we have our Rabbeinu Yonah here. The Rabbeinu Yonah says there, that the measure, let's look there for a minute, it's Kedai. To the Baltic Rabbeinu Yoyim, the Taicha Zupa Chokom. Quite different than the Goyish definition of Chokom. Ezehu Chokom Hangome Nikon Odom. Look what the Rabbeinu Yoyim says there. Omru Chach Mea Umos. Interesting, I take back what I just said. Rabbeinu Yoyim said that even the Goyim were homemade on this Yisod. Omru Chach Mea Umos. Ki Yodea Konga Chokom. Imeno oheva chokma, eno chokma, elotipish. Even the goyim were makir. That is the definition of a chokma is determined by the love and desire and thirst that a man has for knowledge. Who echad the tipish, who ech acher sheeno oheva chokma ki hu adas. In other words, a man who is intelligent and he's a chokma, he appreciates chokma and he has a thirst and a desire. In a passion to learn more. He uses that word, one who loves and has a passion, a taiver for Chokhma. It's an unusual lashon, even though he doesn't know anything. He's just starting out. Hareza nikra Chokhma. Shal koponim tasi gam Chokhma amitis. This person will end up with them to the Chokhma. So that's how the Miri learns Pshat in Talmud. Talmud refers to the person, Talmud refers to a man who learns from everyone. That's the Pshat in Talmud. There's an interesting Medrash Shmuel here. The Medrash Shmuel also obviously bothered with the same question. It's not Taich Talmud Poshut learning. He says Talmud means the yoso momed liolom. The person learns with a consistency. Relates a little bit to what we spoke about in the Shmuel's last night. And then that he learns with an obligation, with an ol. That he's always learning tomid, he says. The yoso momed liolom. He's always learning. Whenever he has time, he's learning. I want to share with you the Dalta Kachidush. We know the Chazal say, "Omom Yasov Adam b'Torah Shemo Lishma, Shemitok Shemo Lishma, Bongi De Lishma." The kind of Moshe learns about the Chiddush in the Moshe of that Gemara. Omom, he learns a couple Chiddush. Omom Yasov Adam b'Torah Shemo Lishma, Shemitok Shemo Lishma, Bongi De Lishma. The one Chiddush he said is that the only way to come to Lishma is from Shemo Lishma, the Olam. There is no other way. The Olam Yasa Godom Shemo Shemito Shemo Lishma Bongi Devi. There is no other way. Secondly, he says that in order for the Shemo Lishma to lead to Lishma, in order for the Shemo Lishma to lead to Lishma, you have to learn the Olam. You have to learn with the Kabbalah's Olam. You have to learn the Tmidus. You have to learn with the consistency. You say you just can't learn when you're in the mood to learn or not. A person has to learn with the Olam. You can't just like the Yevah can't work when he's in the mood to work, unlike a private person. But a man who learns Torah learns with an Olam. So that's what he says. Olam. Yasuf Adam the Torah Shemo Shemito Shemo Lishma Gwenda Shemo Lishma Lead Me Day Lishma. If you learn the Olam, if you learn with the consistency. That's what the Medrash Shmuel when he says, Talmud Biyosa Mo Made Me Olam. Let's look in the mirror here. Shmiasa Ozen. Person should learn audibly. You know, it's interesting, we don't read out loud. We don't read out loud. So it's hard for us to get into the habit that in learning, you're supposed to learn out loud. It's very, very difficult. But it's so important. There are many chazanim that indicate that. Look what the Miri says here. The Miri is learning differently. Other Rishonim. Learn Shmiyas Oz and Poshet, audibly, but the Miri learns differently. Let's hear what he says here. The Shmiasa Ozen, Shiyata Ozno Medive Rabosa, that he should listen clearly to what his Rebbeim tell him. After Shibyosa Shoah, Nevad Mimenu Margolios Tova, he should always be ready to listen to what the Rebbe has to say and not miss, and if he misses, to catch up, you know, Shirin from others and so on. Because if he misses even an hour, he can lose very precious Hamachas, precious Hashkofas and Yediyas and so on. So that's how he learned Shmiasa Ozen. Audibly, to learn out loud, the Miri includes that in Arichas Vasayim, which will come from Mir Tishem right away. So that's how he learned Shad in Shmiasa Ozen. The next kinyan, also these first kinyanim have to do with the Mais of Nimu. Arichas Vosayim. What does the Miri say here in Arichas Vosayim? Sheyavzor Tomi. Arichas means to be arranged, right? Shulchanora, it means to be arranged. Arichas Vosayim. Doesn't just mean to learn out loud, but it means to learn in an organized fashion. To learn, you know, where the words and the ideas are arranged logically and clearly on a person's lips. Look how he teaches it. Number one, he says, Shiyavzor Tomi, Hansen Hasor, that's a Rikas Fosayim. The Yotze Hadvorim Svaso Tomi Rabbos, and you should say it out loud many, many times. Hach Omer Gur Yoeshes Rebbe Meir, Ki Chayim Hem Motzeyehem Bepeh. Get a person. What learns out now is also a school of Arichas Yomi. It's a school of remembering. Understand, it's a gewaltig habit to get into. A person should learn to learn out now. But you see here the emphasis that the Miri places on Chazorah. Shiyatzor told me, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of Chazorah. And I want to mention, Chazorah doesn't just mean to go over what the Rebbe says in Shir. Understand? Don't walk in, you know, the Rebbe, they go, they sit down for Hazorah Seder, they Hazor over what they learned in Shir, you know, whatever the Rebbe had to say, a portion, and so on. The first, most fundamental part of Hazorah is to Hazor constantly the Black Gemara, the Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. Always a person should be Hazoring the learning. He prepares the Shir, it's true, you're in the Shir, but to Hazor over and over and over and over again is impossible to emphasize Hazorah sufficient. He said, often don't realize, often think that Hazorah is just you should remember the Gemara better. It's enough of a reason to Hazor too. Don't misunderstand me. But people don't appreciate that from Hazorah, a person learns how to make an effective laning. More than from learning the Kiyas. Understand? The Yeshiva, of course, emphasizes learning the Kiyas and Iyun. But in terms of learning how to make a good laning, I cannot emphasize enough, and I'm sorry in the beginning of this, I didn't mention it, I mentioned it, but I don't know if I emphasized, I should have repeated it also several times, but you got to hear it or not. The person thinks they're just going to learn the Kiyas, so they're getting experience in making a laning. Sure, you're making a laning when you learn the Kiyas, but a lot of times you make mistakes, and a lot of times the mistakes are not caught if you go beyond where the Shir told you, if you go to the Shir, so the Shir helps. Of course, to make sure you're learning right to that. But a lot of times the Kochim are going to learn a lot of Black and Kiyas. They're not necessarily impeding their ability to make a laning, but a lot of times they're learning things wrong. When a Bokher hazards the Gemara, it's like making a laning with a head start, you understand? Because you don't remember everything. And every time you hazard over, you see new points, a new Diagamashi, another understanding of Tosfos. And here's a kash in the Gemara that never bothered you before, and all of a sudden it bothers you. So you're learning to make a very good laning. I still remember the shir I was in as a youngster when I learned how to make a laning. We learned Pesach about this thing where there's no Rashi, there's the Rashban, of course. And by the end of that year, I was making a laning. Because the Rebbe, you know, used to give us a lot of affinities. We used to have to hazard the Blanat always, the Gemara, Rashbam, Tosfos, and since the Rashbam is so much more lengthy, than the Gemara than Rashi, so it was a matter of extra experience. You understand? That a person has to learn over every Omer Gemara in his study, in Iyun and in Vikiyas, until you come to a point where you can read the Gemara in Hebrew, the Moshe of the Gemara, and not translate anything with perfect comprehension. That means that you understand the Gemara. At least from that point, you have to pass it over. And then you chazer again. You understand? Always chazer tomi, he says. It's interesting. In Mishmei, the Gaon's Peiros in Mishmei is very, very famous. Rav Aaron, Zichrono Livracha, used to come every winter to Miami Beach. When we were living in Miami, that was the biggest rookie-istic mind, the only rookie-istic mind of the community there, was that the Gedolim Torah used to come there in the winter. So Rav Aaron Zal used to come every winter, and he stayed in our neighborhood in Dublin, in our shul. With the Valtical schools, I got extremely close to him. So he always had the Gaon and Mishnah, always had it with him. He walked into the house, it was always on his table. Even when he went into the car, he always took the Gaon and Mishnah with him. And the Gaon and Mishnah, whenever he speaks about Chazara, he once made a whole Rishima, maybe 12, 15 places. Every time he mentions Chazara, you hear, he always uses, I forgot it's the Lashon of Amiri, he always uses Magzor Tomi. Always the Chazar, understand? Magzor Tomi, that's what the Amiri said, Arichas Vasayim, Shiyavzor Tomi, always the Chazar. And sometimes a Bacher's Chavrusa is late in the morning, understand? He doesn't come in. There's plenty to do, understand? You get there 9 o'clock, if the Chavrusa doesn't show up, you don't just sit around waiting for him, and then before you look around, you chazer. You chop around chazer over the shir from yesterday again, make a chazor from the beginning of the parrot. You have to use all of these times to chazer, and chazer, and chazer again. It's just a matter of getting into the habit. We always should remember, also we mentioned at the beginning of the year from the cycle, that to learn Torah Shabbat Peh, you have to go over 4 times. If not, it's not called learning. That's why in the Kiyas, when we want to cover more ground, of course, than in Iyun, it's very important. Every Chavrusa should start out the afternoon with Kiyas Seder by chazering over what he learned yesterday. First thing. Then he works over to New Gemara, and I would say the last 20 minutes or so to chazer everything you learned that day. And then if he can do it again at night. And then another time from Thursday night to Motzoi Shabbos. From Thursday night through Saturday night is 48 hours. It's hard to believe, no? That there's the same amount of time from Thursday night to Saturday night. They got the same 48 hours like you got from Monday night to Wednesday night. It's amazing. Amazing thing. And that's made a festival. The same 48 hours. It's an amazing thing. From Thursday night to Saturday night, there's 48 hours. Just like from Monday night to Wednesday night. Tell it to your parents when you call them up next time. So to use that time, understand, to use that time, the chazer, the chazor of the cipher says starts the 5th time, not the 2nd time. But I tell you the story that a Michael Feinstein told a friend of mine, he mentioned it to me. About the Netziv. So he says that, if I did it a long time ago, it's certainly time for me to do it again. We all have to do it again. So the Netziv started out his learning, miraculously after learning. He was 14 years old, his father calls him in, the father and son talked to him, he says, listen, my eagle up. He says, we're not accomplishing anything here. It's no problem. So I spoke to the uncle, the baker, and he's very happy to take you to be an apprentice. He wants you to help him out in the bakery shop. And eventually you'll have a talk with him, your own bakery. And he said, that's fine. I said, I see learning is not for you. We're not accomplishing anything. Somehow, his father was a devout of the Savi. Somehow, it's made a tremendous shakti. And he brought up with his father. You see, his father should think to make him a baker. And he said, take him out of yeshiva, take him out of learning. Be a baker, it was shock therapy. And from that time on,
He began to learn with an extraordinary asmada. He came to receive the Rosh Hashiva of the Lashon for 40 years in the Rosh Hashiva of the Lashon. Mami, thousands of the Dolei Torah. So later in life, somebody once came to him and they said, we understand that the Rosh Hashiva used to study 20 hours a day. He said, it's not true, I never studied 20 hours a day. I used to study 16 hours a day. 16 hours a day. But, he said, including Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. It reminded me of the story, because I said this 48 hours from Thursday night to Saturday night. So the Michal Feinstein is the Adam of the Brisker Rav. So, the Rav Samovatsky, the Rav's Adam, you know, learned in his kolo for many years, so he's the one who told me the story. So, when Rav Michal Feinstein told over the story, he added a personal P.S. He says, when we hear that he learned 16 hours on Erev Shabbos and Shabbos, we don't understand it. Where do you find 16 hours to learn on Erev Shabbos and Shabbos? That's what he says. How in the world can you learn 16 hours on Erev Shabbos and Shabbos? That's the Nabzer Tomei. Let's look at the Rabbeinu Bechai here. It's also very interesting. I mean, I'm not sure if you're here. The Rabbeinu Bechai here. Barifis Vosayim. Yesh Odom Chochom Bechochmo. The Eino Yodea Mahazdiro Bisvasa here, Umahotsio Mapoel Bishomo, Haroi, Omer, Umahabim, Poeta, Gethi Haroi, Behubi, and Godot. Very interesting Rabbeinu Bechai. Rabbeinu Bechai says you find sometimes, the Rabbeinu Bechai says, that there are many Tamina Chachomi, there are Tamina Chachomi, who know Haman, but they're not able to give over what they know. Understand? They're not able to organize their thinking. They're not able to present it, to explain it properly. That's a special art. And not everybody has that art. And that's what a person has to work on. He says, Yesh Adam Chochom B'Chochma, Eino Yodea. He can't organize his thoughts. He can't present the ideas. Any good Rebbe will tell you that it takes hours. It takes hours in order to prepare a shir to give over the shir. The preparation of the shir isn't just to learn the Gemara. Now, I'll tell you a secret. That when I was a Rav, it took me a while to learn that about speaking to you. I thought that once I had my ideas and I had my sources that I want to talk about on Shabbos morning, that I'm all prepared. It's not being all prepared. Once a person has his ideas and it has his mekoyres, then it's a big job. Sometimes it can take hours just to decide what to say, what not to say. What to say first and what to say second. And should I mention this chazal here and that chazal there? Even in speaking, understanding the shul or giving shulas, it takes a lot of time for a person to organize his thinking, to organize his thoughts. And certainly the man is giving a shul against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will spend hours after they have the Gemara prepared well, just to decide how to present and when to bring out this idea and what not to say and what yes to say, in the order in which to say and how to bring it out of the Gemara. It's a tremendous art that a man who, you know, hasn't a Talmid can't appreciate that, because you don't know the enormous amount of work that goes into it. We just take it for granted. I had a Bama Goss tell me, my first president, and I went into the bonus, he wanted to pressure me to start raising money for the yeshiva. And I didn't want it to listen. My job is the rookies of the yeshiva. The Bama Batim, they're the ones who have to raise the money. He says, listen, Rabbi Rachman, between you and me, he says, you know, what's the whole job of all these ones are hoping to do? It's just 10 minutes when you speak about this morning. He said, yes, well, Rabbi, what can I do? I never cease to speak more than 10 minutes. Shabbos morning, though, is my normal sermon. was 10 minutes. But those 10 minutes easily would take me 8 to 10 hours to prepare. I didn't think to appreciate that, but I always have to laugh when I think how he said, listen, you've got plenty of time to raise money for the shul during the week. The whole job is 10 minutes, you know, Shabbos mornings. If the whole week long, that's all I got to do with those 10 minutes when I'm speaking. But it's interesting, that's what he says here. And either we learn the audible pronunciation of learning, either we learn it in Arichas Vasayim, or we learn it in Shmias HaOzen. But that definitely is included in the Kinyonim of Torah. The Vinas HaMei. By the way, the Medrash Shmuel also says on Arichas Vasayim, he also says Chazora Tmidis Umesuderet. You understand? A constant, regular, and organized Chazora. Also an organized Chazora. That's the Arichas Vasayim. Let's look at the Miri and Venus Hamei. It's a very interesting Miri. It's almost got a sense of humor to it. Hamomeid Bekol. We just spoke about learning out loud, right? So the Miri says, you got to be careful with the Venus Hamei. Hamomeid Bekol. Sometimes a guy sings. He's learning Gemara and he has a nice niggle when he's learning out loud. And he's thinking more of the tune than of the Gemara. Understand? It's interesting. A Rishon should mention it. Lo kamo emu shemizamrim the ikra habino chasera. Not like the people who sing with a nice niggle, but the prophet is miles away. Understand? The havana isn't there. The heart isn't there. Here the heart is bina, of course. Vinas halev. Hamomei b'kol yizora v'hove. He has to learn carefully. In Ruach HaChayim, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Perish on Avos, so he says there, when he speaks about Chazora, he says you should chazer the tenth time like the first time. And when the person chazers the first time, you have to concentrate on that. By the time you come to the tenth time, it goes much more quickly. But a person also should be careful, understand, to understand what he says, not just to repeat it by rote. It should have to be like in heaven. But that's the Venus Hanev. Relates generally to learning, and especially to Chazora. Diku Chaveri. We'll take Shimon Shachonim first. I'm skipping around. I want to, you know, learn several examples here of Kinyonim that have to do with the mice of Nimu. Talmud Shmias HaOzen, Arichas Vasayim, Venus Hanev, Shimon Shachonim. Look at the Miri. Shetzorech Meshamesh Rabosov Mizeh Yiskel Letoira. V'kein Matzinu B'Yoshua. Ayyidei Sheshimos, Moshe Rabbeinu, Zocho Shatora Nimso Omo, Dechein Kosu B'Yamisha, Asher Yotzak Mayim Ayyidei Yamayohu. It doesn't say that Yamisha who learned by Yamayohu, but Yamisha who poured the water over the hands of Yamayohu. But when this is brought in Zem Zayin, there's a Devalkut Maratzvi is there on the Gemara, that he brings down the Shem HaGroa, the Devalkut understanding. What's the Pshat? It seems like a Chassidish Gemara. May I mean that you get a bigger mitzvah by pouring the water over your Rebbe's hands than from listening to his Torah. What's the pshat? What's going on here? So the proportion of that is through that question. So the pshat is that the limud mitoch shirish is greater than limud that's not mitoch shirish. That's the point. It doesn't mean that to be meshamash a Rebbe, you have more mitzvah than if you learn from him. But if you're meshamash a Rebbe, while you're being meshamash him, you learn from him. When Elisha poured the water over Eliyahu HaNavi's hands, he learned Gan Hilchas Netilas Yadayim.
And then all Hilchos and Tefillos Yadayim he saw and learned from his Rebbe when he poured the water over his knees. That's the pshat. So there's a gevaltig pshat that the Marat Sphere brings on Toto Shimushim Yehudam that he brings from the Gong. He says, Shamati B'Shem Hagron Yehuda. It means like this, the learning that comes from Shimush is more effective than the learning that doesn't come from Shimush. That's what it means. I can give a whole shmuz to me. Let's say we have a whole bond for an hour. We're going to talk about chesed. We'll talk about chesed. So I'm sure with Eber's help, by the time we finish, everyone will have gotten the message about chesed. But believe me, if any one of us, and I've been very good to do it, if any one of us would go around with the rod for an hour or two at night, and see how he goes out of his way to bring tzedakah monies, brachmosis kana, talmonis, and to yisomi, and how he relates to them in the house, and how he talks to them, and how he makes the whole family more essential when he comes in. That's a side line. He raises fortunes of money for tzedakah, and especially to help marry off, you know, orphans. Believe me, after an hour or two, you'll learn more about Pesach than if you would listen to Shmuel and for a month. Because you see it. You learn it by seeing it. An interesting example comes into my mind when I speak about this. It happened so many years ago, and it shows you what emotion it made. And we were living in Long Beach, and many times we used to drive the road back from Lakewood at night. Used to leave at 10. It was a 2-hour trip. I got back to Long Beach about 3 in the morning. So one time before I got in the car on the way back, so I had a cup of coffee and a piece of cake, they were all sun, you know, mid and making them still this good. So before I went back, I had a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. And while we're sitting at the table, the rose jacket, you know, smeared on the frosting of the cake. So the first thing that would come into my mind is that would happen only to another cleaning bill, gotta bring it to the cleaners, another few dollars. That's the first thing that would come into my mind. I was push it. Anyway, as soon as it happened, he stops. And he like stands there, studies the sleep, like this, like examining it. And then, you know, for a few seconds, then he says, awesome. And he took it off. That's the pshat. But the Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham, he has a Rabbah Abba, he's very, he has a spot, dirty clothes on the, a spot on the clothes. He's high in his, he's still on the shot. So when that happened, the Rav looked at it immediately, was a shiner. Can I continue where we ended up? Is this a Rabab that the Chazal speak about, and therefore I got to take it off? Or maybe this is not included. And then he passed it, it was included and he took it off. So believe me, that is good. We got to the Gemara, but I saw it. I didn't listen. I saw it. It was like the Gemara was acted out for me. But that type of learning makes a deeper impression on the person's consciousness and memory. But that's the Maratzki that brings down that pshat. There is not the pshat Godo Shimush only we move on. The learning we told Shimush is greater than the learning that Shemo we told Shimush. Because you see and experience that which otherwise would just be theoretical.